With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
And a fly ball, deep right field, down the line, towards the pole. It is gone. Jake Cronenworth, his second home run of the series and of the year. High fly ball, deep right field. Back goes Suzuki, and it is gone. Jerks and Profar, it's a two-run shot. 7-2 San Diego.
Yeah, Hendricks is basically getting tattooed here in this season so far. Giving up a lot of home runs, getting crushed by lefties. 18.5 hits per nine. Now, that's ridiculous. And that'll come back to earth if he keeps pitching, obviously.
What's his whip?
North of two. It's like 2.3. Yeah,
yowza.
It's ugly. And you know,
what's his ERA plus, Carm?
I can get it for you in a second.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of information that we need to be able to offer an analysis.
I'll tell you
pitcher.
This.
On whether he's kind of done, stick a fork in him.
As we bring in, Jesse, I'll tell you this too, Yurko. This is what might tell you: stick a fork in him. His ERA plus is a measly 38. You know, look, he's never going to be confused with Clayton Kershaw or Pedro Martinez or Bob Gibson or Nolan Ryan in terms of strikeouts and Roger Clemens. But you know, at his best,
in his prime,
you still are looking at a player that you know had a K rate roughly around 20%. Had a swing and miss rate roughly around 10%. His K rate this year is 12%. His swinging strike rate is 5%. Good luck to you. I just don't know how you can pitch in the bigs if you can't miss bats like that, or if you're missing at that paltry of a rate. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers.
Maybe he's got some answers.
He's brought to you by the Dolan's Group for excellent financial and tax advice. It's got to be the Dolan's Group. We got a bunch to talk about with Jesse. We can start with Hendricks. He joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. What's up, Jess?
Boys, good afternoon. Been listening to the show. Good to talk to you, as always.
You cutting too,
edge,
my man.
Cutting
you too.
Edge
you
stuff
want,
there.
Do you, Jesse came so prepared today. He sent sound he wanted us to play.
Not surprised.
Do you want me to play that, the Hendricks bite you sent in?
Sure. Well, let's do it because I've never heard him sort of so doubt himself so much. Now, I don't think he's done. We'll get into it.
Okay.
But last night, listening to him after the game, man, it was a guy that's searching for answers, and that is rare to see out of Kyle, who's a pretty confident player. But here's Kyle Hendricks.
All right, here we go.
It's just wanting to be, who, like I said, who I need to be for this team, for my teammates, and I'm just clearly not doing it. Even three starts, every single one, have not been consistent, haven't given us a chance to win. It's just cannot happen, you know, so the things I pride myself on, I'm so far from it right now, so clearly going to be frustrated. But, yeah, I just have to get back to it, you know, one day at a time.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Jess. Yeah, I mean, this
is... and before that, he even talked about letting his catcher call more pitches and have more say in things. I mean, this is one of the smartest players we've ever, you know, been around here in Chicago, and he just can't find any answers right now. I've almost never heard him like that. But I will say it's a little premature. I mean, social media was going nuts. We got to release this guy. It's three starts.
Right.
But more important than that, because the numbers are terrible, and he could be done for all we know. I mean, nobody has a crystal ball. But more important than that is April has always been his worst month. Mm. Always, always, always. Now, this is particularly bad, no doubt, right? But he has a career 4.88 ERA in April. That's before this season. Now, in May, it's 2.96.
Wow.
In July, it's even lower. In June, it's like 3. Like, April's always been bad. I've had many, many conversations with him about, you know, trying to fix that. Like, again, smart player, but sometimes you just can't. Like, we've even talked about, well, treat March like April and February like March. Like, back up everything. But that's silly. That doesn't work. So let's see. Now, this is really bad. Worse than any April he's ever had. Let's at least get him to May. You don't get released after three starts, right?
No, of course not. Especially with an injury in your rotation already. And that's crazy to suggest. I do think it's worth talking about, like, how they fix it, though. You know, like, can it be straightened out? When you hear those numbers that I rattled off about just how little swing and miss stuff he has right now. And again, like, we're not confusing him ever with Roger Clemens or Pedro, but you're talking about huge declines in the ability to miss bats, and it was never a strong suit to begin with. So that's where it gets a little troubling, I guess. And they can go far deeper than I can go in terms of looking at mechanical things and some of the things that are happening. Here's that word, spin rate. And
yep.
There's all kinds of things they can try to work on, Jess. Is that possible where somehow, some way, this gets worked out? Because no amount of pinpoint control is going to matter if you can't miss bats from time to time in this league.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, earlier in his post game, he even mentioned the fact that he's making mistakes and not getting away with them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the top pitchers, the Gerrit Coles, get away with mistakes. At this point in his career, he can't get away with making that many mistakes. Now, the reason I think he's really perplexed is his bread and butter pitch, or pitches, but definitely his pitch, the changeup, mm-hmm. has been a disaster. Opposing hitters hit 180 off his changeup last year. They're hitting 300 off it this year, 320. Now, that's not even his, you know, his sinker they're hitting 500 off of. Mm. But his bread and butter is his changeup. They're hitting 320. So he's really only throwing the sinker and the changeup. I mean, he's giving up on the curveball for the moment, not even throwing four-seam fastballs. So I think he's really confused by why this changeup and sinker are not working. That combination, you know, won him an ERA title 10 years ago, but it did. So he's got to get back to the drawing board. But I would at least give him a chance because he's never good in April. This one is just particularly bad. So let's see.
Okay. You talked about this road trip. You know, they certainly let one get away on Monday. You know, you're not going to lose too much sleep over, you know, letting a game get away in April. I understand that they bounce back nice the next day anyway. But this road trip will continue to test them. They're going to go play an interleague series at Seattle. Now, Seattle hasn't looked like the team we all thought yet, but it's April. They haven't pitched particularly well, even though they have the makings of an outstanding pitching staff. So what else, like from a mindset standpoint, you think they're thinking about as they go to play a couple of interesting series against Seattle and Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're thinking this, but I think I said this on the air the other day. I mean, when you go on this kind of road trip this early in the season with pitchers that are hurt, you're thinking 5-4 or 4-5, maybe in this case, now that you're already 1-2. I mean, you're not necessarily thinking 7-2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just a little bit of survival. Any of these West Coast trips are, but I think especially so in April when you're banged up on the mound a little bit. So that's the way I look at it. You're right. Seattle's not off to a good start. They just played out east, so they're coming back west. Maybe you can jump on them a couple games. And the Diamondbacks are not playing great, but they're a good team. It's not going to be easy. And speaking of good teams, I mean, going back to Hendricks real quick, I wanted to mention this. It's been the Rangers, Dodgers, Padres. There is no
let up.
No let up in April for Kyle Hendricks. He didn't get the Rockies.
Yeah.
And his next start's going to be the Diamondbacks, yep. which is the World Series team. So you're going bad and you're facing tough teams. So that's my Hendricks thought. But yeah, you're just trying to survive now. I mean, maybe they'll go on a little run. I mean, they're a good team, good offense. But pitching is a little wonky, right,
yeah,
with
yep.
injuries and a thin bullpen, seemingly. And we'll see. I mean, 4-5, 5-4 would be great at this point. But if you go 4-5, you can live with that.
There's no help coming anywhere for the pitching staff, is there?
There's not right away.
The minors, there's nobody you can find anywhere?
You already did Ben Brown. I heard Cap talking about a trade. I mean, you could try to talk to the Marlins or one of the White Sox or one of these teams that's out of it already. You could always try. There's not a lot of April trades,
not
right?
A lot. Among, yep.
You know, but sometimes there are. Sometimes there are. It happens. The minors will produce soon, Yurko. Probably not in April, but I think soon after that, they'll be willing to go down there and grab a reliever or two that's doing well. We'll see. Ben Brown came up here, pitched well in relief, and then started and pitched great the other day. So there's one prospect that's up. Merriweather's down for a while, so you're going to need more. There's no doubt. You got to cross your fingers. Albert Alzola, who's already blown two saves, isn't going to be a guy you got to worry about long term. So all of this is out there, Yurko. There's no doubt. It's still a little early to be calling down to AAA. They just started their season, like everyone else did.
Jesse Rogers talking baseball with us, Carmen and Yurko, on ESPN Chicago and the ESPN Chicago app. And remember, watch us on YouTube. We have our own page now in addition to the station page. Just search at Carmen and Yurko. Make sure you like and subscribe. I don't know that there's much left to be said about another White Sox injury. I would just ask you this, Jesse, from, you know, being around them, and I know you're not around them a ton, but just being around them over the last couple of years, all the people you do talk to in baseball, is there an answer? Is it fixable with you know, what's gone wrong with their three best players year in and year out, quite frankly, these last couple of years?
No, I've talked to people just in the last 24 hours because I agree with you. This is like the nail in the coffin for Mankata because he's gone after this year.
Yeah,
and Robert still is there. But I went back and talked to scouts and executives in the last 24 hours. And it's something I've said to you guys before, especially when it comes to Mankata and Robert. Eloy's a different case because his body is just not good at all.
It's just bad.
But Eloy and Mankata are training for the wrong sport. I've said this to you before. They are too tight. You guys see that?
Yeah.
They're physical specimens.
Yep.
They are great looking, and I want to get into this a little bit more, but they are not trained to accelerate and move and go left and go right and do all these things you have to do in baseball. So one scout I texted agreed, and his line was, there is nothing wrong for a baseball player to have a little fat on him. And these guys are chiseled, and that's great if you want to look in the mirror.
Sure.
But that's not great for every sport, including baseball.
It's a good beach body.
So the question is, why haven't they been able to get through to these players to train differently? And it's on the players at this point. I even heard Ozzy say this. They've turned over the training staff. They've turned over their methods. It's up to Mankata to train differently. Now, let me give you another layer to this, because I texted a front office executive who's done this for a living, and he talked about Cuban players. And I mentioned to you guys, when Pedro Grifol was hired, I thought, you know, it was a big part of it was the fact that he has connected with Cuban players in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he has not connected well. But Cuban players have a different life experience than other Latin players and certainly people that grew up in the States. So let me read you this text from this front office executive about Cuban-born players. It's common for Cuban players to get jacked after they defect because they didn't have access to good food or weights, and they often stay that size. Puig, Soler, Robert, Mankata. He started naming guys, and there's some understanding there. Like, their life experience in Cuba is bad. So when they get here, they start working out, they start eating, and they like to stay that way. It's up to the organization to convince them differently. So this is what's gone on with Mankata and Robert. They are just not built with baseball bodies. They're built as weightlifting bodies. That's the best way I can describe it.
It's just a shame. I mean, it just, and you know, like, we don't have to spend too much time belaboring the Sox. The guys are already annoyed that I spent time about an hour ago. It just kind of breaks my heart, the whole state of where they are. I mean, that the fact that this team could lose 115 games and pick 10th, with really nothing on the farm. Maybe Montgomery's, you know, I think he'll be good, and I think a lot of people like Colson Montgomery. I don't think anybody thinks he's Gunnar Henderson. I haven't heard anything close to that, or Jackson Holliday. I mean, I don't, you know, we don't even have, as Sox fans, we don't even have a Bobby Witt to hang our hat on.
There's no
easy fix here, Jess. This is for Jerry Jerry's, he's so old and confused at this point. He wanted it to be quick. This team won't be competitive for 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
I don't see, there's no way out of this.
Their only way it was going to be quick is if he spent money. I mean, when they held that press conference and Jerry said all that, this was after they ripped apart their pitching staff.
Silly.
What did he think they were going to do?
It's
call up
silly.
A bunch of guys? They would have had to sign Montgomery and Snell and all these guys. That's the way if you wanted a quick fix.
Right.
But Chris Getz is far from done ripping this part of team. Mankata certainly is gone. Eloy's option won't be picked up. I don't know what's going to happen with Robert. Vaughn is basically under. Like,
He's totally disappointed.
Obviously, they're stuck with Benintendi's contract, but Getz is going to do as much as he can do in July and then next offseason. So you said this earlier; they're years away.
It's heartbreaking, Jess. It is. Anyway, the update with Ohtani. What do you make of kind of what's happened here? Now it's not, Adam was just reading us a story during the lunch rush. I mean, now they're talking about tens of millions of dollars, and I just for the life of me don't understand how you don't miss that money. I mean, I don't care if somebody changed my bank account settings. At some point, don't you go? I don't know. I'm flummoxed and flabbergasted by the whole thing, Jess. It's crazy.
So I read the whole indictment. I just read it. 37 pages. Adam documented some of it for you. It's just a tale of an insulated baseball player who basically has a single agent. And at some point in here, in the complaint, it says victim A, meaning Ohtani, thought financial institutions and his agency and maybe someone else in that group was watching his funds, and they just were not.
Wow.
Now, he pretended to be Ohtani on the phone.
Right.
He changed bank accounts. Like, we talked about this on the air previously. It was improbable but not impossible for him to do these things, to imitate him. At some point, they started asking him the security questions, and he had all the answers to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, the tale here is it's really sad in a lot of ways, reading this indictment. It starts with him. They have all the text messages between him and the bookie. Starts with, "I've just been messing around with soccer. There's games on 24/7. LOL. I took UCLA, but they lost outright. Joking around. I'm terrible at this sports betting thing, huh? LOL. Any chance you can bump me up again?" Now, of course, bump me up means raise the limit.
Yeah.
And in this indictment, he asked to raise his limit. It has to be a dozen times. And he keeps pleading. At one point, listen to this one. Can you bump me up the last $200,000? I swear on my mom this will be the last ask before I pay it off once I get back to the States. Sorry to keep asking.
I heard this before.
Yeah, this goes on and on and on. The bookie responds, "I know you've been on a bad run. I don't mind bumping you. I just want to verify that you can send at least $2 million on June 1st.
Unbelievable.
So it's insane. It's insane.
How bad?
Yeah, it just keeps going.
Do we believe him a little bit more at this point, Jess? Is it becoming more likely that Ohtani really was a straight up victim in all this, and he's going to be in the clear of any wrongdoing?
I'm going to say yes, because this is a federal investigation,
okay,
and it seems it would be pretty easy for them to uncover what the truth is here. These are not criminal masterminds. I mean, the bookie's not, and certainly the interpreter isn't. Here's the other thing. The interpreter tried so many times before he could do it successfully to wire the money. He tried PayPal. He tried to wire. He tried all these different ways, and he failed. Then eventually he pretended to be Ohtani on the phone, and that opened up the door to change account numbers and do these wires. Wow. So this is far from a criminal mastermind. So I think they uncovered the truth. Wow. And yes, all of us doubting Ohtani, I mean, he probably should have been on top of his finances, but he did get hoodwinked by his interpreter here. I don't think there's any doubt at this point.
What a story. Unbelievable. All right, Jess, great seeing you yesterday up at Seafood Merchants,
by
the way.
Yeah, that was fun.
I cooked up a tuna steak. Oh, my God.
I made some salmon last night. So good.
So good. My God. Yeah, it was great seeing Denny and the whole operation. It was pretty cool up there. One of our great partners, and they sponsor Jesse's Hits, Seafood Merchants. They supply all the great restaurants in town with their seafood, so you know it's good. It was good hanging out and seeing Denny yesterday, so thanks for that. And have a good weekend, buddy, and we'll talk next Tuesday, okay?
You got it, boy. Take care.
Good stuff.
Hi, Jess.
A good update there from Jesse Rogers.
Solid stuff.
Right? Brought
Real
to you today
work.
By the Dolan's Group for excellent financial and tax advice. Don't go to show air as interpreter. You go to the Dolan's Group.
That's exactly correct. And it's great to see Jesse doing a little reading. Easier to read the indictment than it was to read his book. Holy hell.
Saving that joke.
I'm telling you.
Thanks. Hey, you asked Jesse a question, though. That was good.
I did.
That guy will be off your back.
I hope so.
It's Carmen
and
York.
And I was engaging.
We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, good kid. We are going to get a couple of our qualifiers in here. It's down to four, two today, two tomorrow. Last four qualifiers to be eligible to win the Wee Whiskey Fest ticket package, the Highlander ticket package for next weekend up in Wisconsin. So we told you the whiskey fact earlier in the day, and it had to do with bottled and bond, and it had to do specifically with the proof of bottled and bond whiskey in the United States of America. What was that proof? Callers 10 and 20, you get the first crack at that. And if you know, you will qualify. We'll pull a couple of winning names tomorrow as we wrap the week. But we will still have... We'll pull a couple of winners, tomorrow at the end of the week, but we will have two more qualifiers tomorrow.
I know it.
I know you know it. And then Yurko and I are going to be together for a Whiskey U. This is going to be fun. It's happening next Wednesday night at Ember's Tap House in Lockport. We're going to be with our Brown-Forman friends, and that means some Jack Daniels and Diplomatico rum. That's why Yurko's coming.
That's why I'm coming.
Cannot wait.
Coming for the rum.
Yeah. You and love we'll your rum.
Which one. They've got about five, six different Diplomaticos.
So yeah. I don't know anything about this. Let me see here. Diplomatico. Yeah,
five, six different rums. So we'll see. We'll see which one we get.
Diplomatico rum. All right. You know, here
you
we
know
go.
I know the Pirates.
You know, those Pirates were under, like you
they
said.
They knew what they were doing.
Boy, it's a good-looking bottle.
Yeah.
Why do they got to always sexy make you put in your age, Yurko? I'm
well,
an old man.
I put mine in there the other day.
Here, put, I'll make up a birthday.
Just make sure you're 21. I hate making up a birthday, and then all of a sudden you're 18 again.
It's crazy to look when you see the signs these days. You're like, you must have been born or on this day in 2003. Yep. Like, what?
Yep.
2003,
Carm.
The heart of rum. Look at the bottle. I love the design.
Glorious.
Where's this rum coming from? I can't wait for Yurko to educate us on this next week.
You love these things, Carl.
Oh, I love them, Yurko. You know, I have such a good time doing this
stuff. Guessing Central America without knowing 100%.
Somewhere in the Caribbean. I'm going to find out. Dude, Yurko's going to educate us all on Diplomatico. So next Wednesday night at Embers in Lockport, 6:30 to 8:30. Free event, of course. Come by and see us. Going to be packed, I would imagine. You know, the good
it's
kid
free
coming out. Like, you know,
yeah,
people are going to pack the place quickly. So don't wait, you know, don't wait till 7:30 and think, oh, can I be fashionably late? Be there by about 6 or so.
Yeah, be there early.
That's what I would suggest.
And we got snacks too, right?
Always some snacks.
Always got some snacks.
Yes. Can't just give people booze. You can't ply them with liquor. You got to give them a little base, good kid.
Give them something,
You got to base it out.
Got to give them something that they can chew on a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Can you give us a Masters update?
Oh, I can. Yeah. I can, absolutely. On the leaderboard here. We've got two guys tied. Bryson DeChambeau, who's putting for an eagle, it looks like, on 15 now.
Damn, I totally dismissed Bryson in our pool, Yurk.
I did not totally dismiss Bryson.
Good for you.
Bryson is on both of my teams.
Wow.
Yeah.
I totally dismissed
I don't have Fox, though. Fox is there at -4. Danny Willett, -3. On is -3. Will Zalatoris.
There's a name we know.
Will Zalatoris.
Good Chuck Swirsky name.
He's -2 after the front side. John Rahm has just birdied 8 to go -2. Matt Fitzpatrick is -2. Scotty Scheffler is -2. Wyndham Clark, I believe.
Last year's U.S. Open champ.
-2. And
Victor Hovland.
Is -2 also. I don't know if there's more guys that are that good. At some point, this thing has kind of run out.
Scotty Scheffler's wife is pregnant and, like, any day or any week?
2 weeks. She's doing two weeks. So said if he's got to go, he's going to float.
He's keeping his fingers crossed, right?
So like, we got Cam Smith also is at -2. And then some guy named Davis.
Davis Love.
Cameron Davis.
Oh, that was wrong.
Is through 5 holes, and he is -2 also.
Pull the Yurko. I heard the name, and I just...
It's
got to be Davis.
Wendell. I thought it was Wendell Davis.
Wendell.
Him and his rubber band-like patella tendons that went hasta la bye-bye at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia.
That's terrible.
Remember that?
I do.
Yeah, DeChambeau is -5 after 15 now. He is your outright leader.
Well, if you can bomb it in Augusta, you got a shot, right?
DeChambeau, yes.
Somebody, I was watching one of the analysts say that, you know, most of the time, Yurk,
if you know,
but they were saying it's so important at Augusta now because the landing areas, you have to be so precise.
Yes.
So if you can really bomb it at Augusta, you're giving yourself an advantage because you've got shorter irons.
Yes.
You're controlling your distance a little bit better, and you're able to get near pins better. And he said, you know, it's not always the case just where you can bomb it and you're going to have a distinct advantage. But they were saying at Augusta, it can be a huge advantage.
Yeah, here's the key for Fox here, too. The par 5 is the 13th and the 15th.
That's right.
DeChambeau birdied both the 13th and the 15th.
Uh-huh.
Foxy bogeyed, got a 6 on the 13th. Now, you're losing a stroke and a half to the field.
Yeah. You don't
stroke
like
stroke and a half to the field is what you're losing.
I mean, I know that's Amen Corner. That's the end of Amen Corner. But
yes,
you can't be making bogeys.
Can't make bogeys on par 5s.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, we can. They can.
Right. So, DeChambeau, just to be... to understand exactly what he's been able to do. He birdied the second hole, it's a par 5, parred the 8th hole, which is a par 5, birdied 13 and birdied 15. He's -3.
-3 on the par 5.
To score
at
Augusta, you have to birdie the par 5.
That's how you do it, kid.
Yeah.
Randy's in Seattle. We haven't talked to Randy in a while. What's up, buddy?
Hi, boys.
How are you?
What's happening?
It's always, Hey, it's always good to chat with you. You have bounced around the sports circuit since I've been on hold.
I know.
I originally called back when you were talking about the Bears, and I'm thinking, you know what? Let me give Carmen something that's a little bit fun for him because his White Sox suck, and he could use a little bit of a what. And you like playing the what-if game.
Okay, I do so, like the what-if game. That's true.
You do. And Johnny can jump on this one as well.
Oh, I love jumping on it.
So here's the what-if. What if Justin Fields were a good quarterback? And we sit with the number one and nine pick, and I know we're trading out of one, but we don't need a quarterback. So what if? What would you boys like to do?
Well, what would I do if Justin were a stud?
If he were the guy you were going forward with, since his year three was what we were hoping.
Yeah, I would have traded one. Of course, I would have. You're right. You're right about that. I would have traded one. I guess at that point you're strictly eyeing Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And wouldn't that be the case? Like,
perhaps, or you want to go further back and get your stud. You get a Roma Dunze. You could get maybe the stud edge rusher as well if you're willing to drop back.
Or you know what I would do? I would like find a way then to say, who do I value most in this draft at left tackle? Let's just say it's Joe Alt. I'd want to walk away then saying I got Joe Alt and Roma Dunze. There you go. So maybe
that's
you're right. Maybe it's not Marvin Harrison. That would be the what if, I guess, if I were going to play that game. Like, what if Justin were great and the Bears weren't in the position to draft Caleb? They didn't need him. You could trade that pick, and you know you'd get. Not only could you potentially set yourself up for getting a couple of home runs, just in terms of players that you value in this draft, but you're getting tons for future picks
too.
Probably too. Yeah, Randy, we got to run. Thanks, buddy. But I could see that. That scenario, unfortunately, didn't play out that way. You knew you had to move on from Justin. Now we hope Caleb is the stud we've been looking for.
I didn't want to move on from Justin. The Bears did move on from Justin, so we'll see. We'll judge it.
Coming up next, we got Crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Norm McDonald has the final word, brought to you by the Homewood Police Department. Your future is here.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
Testimony during the final week provided some spellbinding moments. In a brilliant move during closing arguments, Simpson attorney Johnny Cochran put on the knit cap prosecutors say O.J. wore the night he committed the murders. Although O.J. may have hurt his case when he suddenly blurted out, hey, easy with that. That's my lucky stabbing hat.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thank you to our guest, Jesse Rogers. And also thank you, Connor McKnight, for a great McKnight at the movies. Thanks to Bleck and Abdallah, who will be on tonight after Bears Weekly, which follows Waddle and Sylvie. And the boys are here now to get you home this afternoon with a full ride.
You know what that means, don't you? With Bears Weekly on today?
No, Joniak.
Joniak joins us at 6.
He's a Joniak. Joniak on the floor.
On the Bears.
And he's dancing like he's never talked before.
We're going to ask him.
Ridiculous.
He's a Joniak.
See, I got
Joniak.
I just created that instantaneously. Lee Miller, we got to turn that around for him at 6. Brett, as we bump back at 6.
We bump it. Bump it back.
You need to play that.
Joniak. That was great.
The Bears.
We're going to ask him nothing but Masters questions.
That's what I would do.
Like he's never talked.
I have a question for...
Tommy's talking all over him, and like I just did you.
My bad.
No, it's okay.
My headset was going on.
Sayer. We're still talking about Joniak here.
I have a question for Mr. Waddell.
Oh, yes, Mr. Waddell over there.
Waddell's the fine French pronunciation.
Well, real quick about Joniak.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're trying to get his mom to call in one day.
That's right.
His mom listens and loves us. She can't believe how, like, all these years of hearing him. That's not nice. All these years, she lives
that's
in
Durham. That's a shot at us, not at her.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that's a shot at you.
Oh, I got you.
Come on, Mr. Brightside.
That's a shot at us, not her.
way over my head. But all these years, she's been listening to him, you know, down the dial where it's just like football, football, football. They can't have any fun, right, anything like this. And now all of a sudden she hears her son come on our show. And
he's got a personality.
Yes. And we're goofing around with him. And she's like, this is great. And awesome. And we keep wanting her to call in and share some Joniak stories. And she has told her by no way, shape, or form can she call in.
Yeah, Jeff won't allow her.
And she would. I think she would like to.
I agree.
And if she's listening now, 312-332-3776.
Fantastic.
Even when he's not on the air, we would like her to call.
We would appreciate it even more if she would join us with her son, but she doesn't need her son to join us.
No, I think
it
would be better even.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
I love it.
Great. I wanted to know from Waddle if he's going to see his Red Legs this weekend.
Tommy? No.
They're in town.
I know. My brother's in town, though, so he's not going to want to go down and see Red Legs.
I bet you he would.
The general? The colonel?
I want to go so badly to see one of these games. It's just scheduling-wise, it doesn't really work out.
Take Gio to go see Ellie De La Cruz.
I want to because he loves Ellie De La Cruz.
Yes, you showed us Braxton.
I want
to go. There you go. Double date.
Let's go.
It just, like, scheduling-wise, it's not good.
You're taking the big
Johnny,
fella,
do you want to come up to the Northern Suburbs on Sunday morning?
I know, but
golf?
I can't Sunday.
8:30?
I've already got an 8:30 tee time this Sunday.
All right.
Unfortunately,
for a fourth.
I can't play on Sunday because I'll be playing already.
Okay.
And I'm playing in the Masters Par 3 tournament
at my
club
Sunday.
On Saturday.
Good for you.
Could maybe swing Sunday.
Sunday's supposed to be an 80-degree day.
I know.
Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Who cares?
It would be nice to go see Ellie. Take the boys.
See if my brother can join us for Unhinged tomorrow.
I would love that.
A special guest.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Your brother?
You'd be asking him to leave quickly.
Or Bronco.
No.
His brother.
My brother.
What about Buck and Bronco? They ever going to join the show?
The way Mason swears these days, he'd fit right in.
He'd fit right in.
Well, still, that he can't do that.
He's in school, isn't he?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, but there's going to come a point in time we're going to do one when the kids aren't going to have school.
Yes.
That's true.
No
summertime.
Unhinged for the kids.
Summertime potty talk.
My kids are doing unhinged.
Your kids are grown. And
Nico and Jake be more than
never forget. It was Nico who gave
us the
finger,
meathead.
Right?
Meathead's got the lead at the Masters.
He used to call.
Oh, dude, DeChambeau.
Yeah.
Minus six. I like
it. Well,
him.
I heard you guys talking earlier, Carm. There's no doubt. They're throwing darts today
because
the course is wet.
It rained all morning.
And here comes Rom. Here comes Rom.
John Rahm. Nice.
Johnny's going to be coming up the list.
I got Johnny Rahm in our pool. Let's go, Rahm.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
He's on the 10th.
Did he go to live this year?
$600 million.
Well, did he go also because he wanted to play for the Ryder Cup last year and they did not let anyone play for Team Europe in the Ryder Cup if they were on the LIV Tour?
Don't know.
That I don't
know. Did he wait a year for that because of that?
Maybe he just waited for the offer to be $600 million.
Right. Oh, no, so
maybe not specifically because of that.
But it was a nice bonus.
But, yeah, for him was nice. But he also wanted Sergio on the team. He was a little upset they wouldn't consider Sergio.
Well, it's his countryman.
Well, it's his countryman. And what a tremendous history Sergio Garcia has in the Ryder Cup. And his record is phenomenal.
It's incredible.
I think that's what upset him.
They're going to have some sort of resolution here sooner rather than later.
At some point.
Are they? I think they have.
They say Greg Norman's at the Masters this year.
I think they're going to have to.
They asked him to stay away, I think, last year. But this year, he is there, but he's bought his own ticket.
Did he bring his one iron with him?
Bought his own ticket to get there. Well, he's with the Patriots.
He can afford it.
He's with the Patrons, Carm.
Is he really?
Really?
That's hilarious.
Wow. Is he wearing a Speedo?
No.
Probably.
He should.
If I were him, I would.
He should.
If he's with the patron.
Yeah, I would.
He's going to wear a shark stuff. He said he hasn't had nary a negative word from the fans about his LIV Golf
stuff.
Is there a dress code if you go to the Masters as a patron?
I don't believe so. I mean,
I don't think
you can wear jeans or any denim.
You can't wear denim.
I don't think so.
Would you wear a Speedo if you wanted to with a collared shirt?
No, I don't think he was wearing a collared shirt. No. I think they show you the door.
Cargo pants?
Yeah.
Can't have cargo shorts out there.
Get out of here.
Why?
I don't think you can.
Nobody should wear cargo shorts anymore.
I agree, but I'm just telling you what you can't have.
You'd be shocked. Like, most people, like, even if there aren't strict rules, they kind of dress
like
in a nice fashion.
Golf.
Yeah. Like they almost feel like they're playing the Masters.
Right. Well, yeah, they wish.
Cargo shorts were great because of all the pockets.
Yeah, but no, no, come on.
Oh, yeah. They were very convenient.
Yes.
You could keep whatever you wanted.
Stifler's 171 away. Every time I see him, I go giggity, giggity, giggity.
Stifler?
Yeah, Scheffler.
I don't like the beard on him. Not a big fan of his beard.
What about Stifler's mom?
That's what I thought. I'm like, Stifler's mom?
Yeah.
What?
Stifler's mom is the woman in White Lotus, right?
Yes, it
is. Oh, yeah.
She's good. Fantastic.
She's a great actress.
She's had a huge resurgence.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. Ever since Mean Girls, I think. Was she in Mean Girls?
Oh, Danny's got
Masters
boxes. Whoa.
Taste of the Masters.
We had this last year,
it's
remember?
It's time to celebrate the 88th Masters Tournament.
What do we got?
Let me tell you, guys.
We got some chips. Hey. Masters. Ooh, barbecue stuff. Kettle chips.
Phenomenal.
They have the pimento cheese sandwich.
It's on the bottom.
Nice.
Is this what Yurko bought from Bari today?
Yep. Too bad Yurko already brought sandwiches.
Were left out on this?
Mmm. Oh, these crisps are phenomenal. They're unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah, they're really like every other chip, but because they're in a Master's bag, they taste
better. That's why
they're
so much better, yeah. Tommy. Mm.
But we were left out on the...
got left out. You got iced out.
How were the sandwiches? Good?
Oh, man.
We weren't part of the wager. What do you want me to do? Get some of that pimento cheese, Danny.
Egg salad. Can't eat egg salad.
Makes me vomit. Big shocker.
Yeah. I can't.
Carrots.
You know what? You'll see it.
Popcorn.
Who supplied us with
carrots,
that, Danny?
Carrots,
the Master sent it to me.
This is from the Masters?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. Tiger sent it.
Oh, hey, this is Georgia. Hey, this is Georgia pecan caramel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right, I saw again that video of Tiger when he was five. Yeah. It was going around Instagram today when he was sitting on Fran Tarkenton's lap. Do you remember this?
I think that's incredible
or something.
I don't think I saw
it. It was like the Mike Douglas show, wasn't it? Something like that?
There was something, but he was featured again as the phenom who wins golf tournaments already at the age of five.
Here's your poo chips.
Shoots par.
Ooh, pork barbecue. There you go.
I said shoots, right?
Georgia pecan caramel. Ready?
How is it?
Oh, that's good.
They usually have toothpicks on the bottom.
Go ahead, Sylvie.
They got toothpicks on the bottom of that, too.
Where is the...
Where's give me some of the caramel corn. Pecan corn.
Here you go.
I want yours.
What I got?
Yeah, you got germs.
Germs?
You've been sick left and right these days.
I'm not.
You have, too.
Oh, look, you got a mouthful of nuts over there. It's not just popcorn. It's some nuts there.
Georgia pecans.
Yeah, this is
the
Georgia pecans.
Corn.
Got some coasters for you guys.
We used to drive through Georgia on the way to Florida.
Wow.
And we used to always pick up the Georgia pecans.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Florida oranges, we used to take home a crate of Florida oranges. And then we would take home the Florida pecans.
Instead of just buying the Florida oranges at the grocery store
That's a pretty good pecan.
I love a nice pecan.
That's a good pecan.
Yeah, it's different when you're there, Waddle.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, Tommy.
Good chips. Really good chips.
By the way, this is all courtesy of our friends at the CDGA.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so this is from the CDGA and not from the Masters?
No, it's from the Masters, but the CDGA ordered it for us.
They play middleman.
Yes.
Is this from your co-host?
From Mike Gilligan and company over at the CDGA.
This is from Mike Gilligan.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, Mike.
It's called Here's the challenge to you guys, all of them. Everybody, if you're playing golf, I know some of you don't, so this might not challenge you. Everybody should have their CDGA app. 15.9 index, Tommy. I'm sure Tommy's got a CDGA app.
I don't have mine.
Everybody should have their CDGA app. Get your scores in. You're eligible to put your scores in now here in the Northern Hemisphere. So there you go. 15.9, Yurko. She had a good round. They already jacked me down, man.
You're a 15.9 handicap. Wow.
Yeah. Good for you. 15.9, that's my index. So depending upon what the slope rating is, and the whatchamacallit, then they give you how many strokes you get on that course and the tees that you play from.
We should do, you know how you got the seven wins or 70-degree thing?
Yeah.
We should do, can the White Sox get Yurko's handicap on Memorial Day?
Ooh. That's 15-9.
Well, they have 16 wins. We'll call it 16. Can we round up?
Mm-hmm.
Yurko's handicap by Memorial Day. They got two wins. That's about, Memorial Day's what, about 6 weeks away? Boy.
That's more than two wins a week, isn't it?
It's it's 44 days.
44 days?
44 days until Memorial Day.
Not even... Well, yeah, that's exactly then almost like 6 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Good luck. I don't think it's happening. I'm heartbroken.
No?
But they've broken my heart.
They stink.
They've broken my heart.
Black and Abdallah had enough of you talking about this.
They get annoyed, but...
I don't blame you.
It broke my heart, you guys.
And I don't blame, like... They want you to stop talking about it. That's what they want you to do. They want you to ignore it.
I don't know.
It's just so sad.
What was last night? They had a 5-0 lead, and they coughed that thing up nice.
Yeah, and then they lost in extras. I mean, Paul DeYoung
saw that.
Sat third base. I know how to run the bases.
How about this? How apropos was this on sibling National Siblings Day? The Naylor brothers.
The Naylor brothers
hit home runs, both of them.
But it's good. Look,
Josh Naylor's up. You
got to tank for your draft position. So
right? Yeah,
a loss is good.
10th overall. You believe it? There's just nothing to look forward to, you guys. It's going to be years before they're good.
Go down there and watch Ellie De La Cruz play tomorrow.
I know. I'm heartbroken.
No,
what
you're
am
not.
I going to do? Oh, yes, I am.
You
oh,
are
yes,
not
I
heartbroken.
No.
You've
I think you're so numb to their ineptitude.
It breaks my heart. Like I want to watch.
Aren't you past that though?
No.
Apathy? Hasn't apathy
set in?
No.
Anger and heartbreak is gone.
I don't get to cheer for a baseball team. I don't have a baseball team. I've got to watch the Orioles. I've got to watch the Padres.
I think a big piece of you died when they trade Chris Sale. Your White Sox fandom. When they let Sale go, that big piece of you went away.
I told you they'd never get equal value for Sale. I told you that.
Yeah. It wasn't a terrible deal on paper. The problem is they didn't turn out those two.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do you think that's
the
Adam Eaton
deal? The Adam Eaton deal at one time looked great,
but I told you you'd never get value the equal value.
What did they get for Eaton? Was it Giolito and
they got Giolito and
Dane Dunning? Wasn't it
Dane Dunning?
Wasn't
and then they turned
Ronaldo Lopez.
Oh yeah,
and Ronaldo Lopez. And then they turned Dane Dunning into Lance Lynn.
Yeah,
didn't
they?
Man, what's Lance Lynn doing now?
St. Louis.
Eating. I just said.
Yeah, eating Georgia pecan caramel corn. Yeah. He's in St. Louis, yeah.
Well, he was an angry cat on the pill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of fun, feisty. Yeah, Mel and I were talking about it last night. It's pretty rough. They're years.
Oh, it's a hard watch.
They're years away.
You cracked me up this earlier today when you looked at Yurko and you said, at least Yurko has the cups.
Yeah. And then he's yelling at me for having
like,
to watch.
Where do I get Marquee?
Don't obligate me
to
watch
baseball. Tell me I got to watch baseball.
Please.
I'm watching Jackson Holliday last night. I'm watching Gunnar Henderson in Fenway.
Did you say these were pralines?
No, pecans.
Pecans.
Oh, are these are pecans?
Georgia's known for its pecans, not its pralines.
Yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Georgia, I asked a simple question. I thought they were known for their macadamia nuts.
Whoa,
that's
Johnny.
Hawaii.
What is that?
Oh,
what do you want?
In Hawaii.
Are you wanting some of that? You want some of that, Carm?
Oh, no.
I can recreate that quickly.
That's disgusting. Come on.
What is that?
Barbecue. Can you put it in a plastic case?
I bet I can.
I'll pass on that one.
You sure?
We'll eat all the other stuff. The caramel corn's good. Here, Tyler, come take this. Go ahead.
He's a young kid.
But you're giving him the leftovers?
What do you want?
Hey, Tyler, I haven't finished this.
Tyler,
come take this. That was really good.
Nice. He's got a few sips of a Coca-Cola over here if you want.
He only hosts the show, and he gets your leftovers?
I can't eat it all. Too much sugar. It doesn't matter for Tyler. He's a young kid.
He can have whatever he wants, except for the Master's Cup.
Hey, give me one of them cookies.
Here. Give me mine.
There's a fresh cookie, Tyler. Come here. Mellor, cookies.
Oh, yeah.
We went out to dinner yesterday.
Yeah?
And on the way home, we, because it was closing, we, on Uber Eats, we ordered three large Dairy Queen Blizzards.
Really? That's pretty awesome. Who's we? Who are you with?
My wife.
You and Ellie?
Yeah, we went out to dinner. And
you ordered three?
Three. Well, one for Mason, because he was still up.
So he was still up.
Mason only had a half.
Okay.
So I took my large and his half, and I had one and a half large.
You had a one and a half?
Yeah. Double Oreo cookie blizzard. And so that's why, I'm not touching this now. I'm like, I'm a fat ass.
A double Oreo
I woke
blizzard.
Up this, you talk about, this morning. I basically drank a bottle of wine last night.
Oh.
And then I woke up and I'm like, had so much regret.
Look at this poor Sox fan.
See, he knows.
It's terrible.
I had so much regret from eating a large and a half blizzard before I went to bed.
That's getting after it, Sylvie.
That's a good cookie.
Is it a good cookie?
Oh, yeah.
You know what? We should save one of these for Merck and have him do one of his reviews on it.
I'm
going to take one of these.
Good.
I'm going to take one, if you guys don't mind. And
I bet you he gives it a higher grade because it's from the Masters.
Merck and I have been talking about doing a collab. We're going to do a cookie tasting and a whiskey review together. Sure. And I'll tell Merck to come
but
over.
But he's got
to
try the whiskey. He's a non-drinker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, make sure you get a stool for him so you guys are at the same eye height. Yeah, eye level.
Well, you've been crushing
guys,
Merck lately.
No, listen. That's important for the aesthetic when you look at it.
for the aesthetic.
Should we buy him a high chair?
You gotta have it. No, no. People have used, and other guys have used stools before.
Did you like what Tracy Wilson did this weekend? What'd did you see do? What she did?
She interviewed Edie.
Well, what did she do? First, she interviewed Edie, and she was way, like, right. And then when they zoomed in, she was way out of the picture.
Right.
So Ian Eagle said afterwards that she should get a stool for next time.
That's not a shot at anybody. That's just reality.
So then when she interviewed, was it Klingon after the game, after the UConn game?
She had a stool.
She had a stool.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
That's nice pretty funny, stool. Actually. That's nice funny. Stool.
Well, I mean, why are you guys lambasting me? I'm picking on Merck all the time. Oh, I don't know.
That's it. Because you are picking
you
on
said
Merck.
The, all you need is to hear the word Merkin and you fall asleep.
Huh?
You're taking
shit. Yeah, that's what you said yesterday.
Give me another one of those great stories without adjectives. Did you read his book? He didn't put any adjectives in there. Things that describe the action, you know?
Dazzling details he's missed?
Yes.
Do you really, truly believe there's not a single adjective in there?
I swear to God, there's a dearth of them. May not be a... So there may be one in there, but there's a dearth of adjectives
in it. He's taking a shot at Jesse's book and Merkin's book.
Wow.
And I can't wait till he writes his own.
What would the title of your book be?
Read
it. That's a good kind
of Life and Time
of the Good Kid?
Of the NFL's Most Handsome Lineman, John Yurkic.
That's a long title. Yeah, I don't know.
That's why I like it.
Okay.
You know,
Jason Taylor might have you beat, just maybe.
Who? Jason Taylor might have you beat, just maybe.
Who?
Howie Long may have you beat.
Oh, what are you talking about? You ever see me up close, naked?
I have, actually.
I am a pleasure.
That's what we got to work that in. Like, badass, good kid, anteater.
That's pretty good.
Something like that.
The name of the book.
I call mine the kazoo.
The good kid. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the kazoo is a little bit better.
The good kid and his kazoo.
And his kazoo.
That's pretty good.
Try it. The great kazoo.
Life and Times of the
Flintstones.
Yeah, the giant head, the green Martian or whatever it was. Yeah, it was a Martian.
Great kazoo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the great kazoo. That's old school.
Fantastic sized head.
Right.
Everybody quiet now. Tiger's about to tee off.
Okay. What's coming up, boys?
Look at the
gallery around Tiger.
So we're going to, obviously, you guys reminisce, too, about that time in, 95, right after the...
94 into 95.
Yeah, yes. And we were all young at that time. I was a young reporter in this town at that time. And the way that trial was covered and who O.J. was at that time, I think for the people who are younger... I don't know if they truly understand where his star level was at that time.
That's what we were trying to explain.
As a football player, as a Hollywood star.
Yeah, as a commentator.
And then the way that the way the world stopped from a news standpoint to follow that trial.
Yep.
And that trial, and for those just tuning in, why are we talking about O.J.? O.J. Simpson died today, and he died of cancer. So we're reminiscing about that today. I also wrote a column today, and it's a good topic about, do you want the Bears on Hard Knocks? I've always been told by people inside that building, and George has not hid this. George McCaskey has been publicly saying he does not want to ever be on Hard Knocks.
None of them do. Warren doesn't.
Right. And people have privately told me inside that building that they've sort of got a wink-wink deal with the league. That, look, you want us to go overseas, give up a home game, we'll do that. You want us to play an extra preseason game this year? We'll do that. Just don't force us into Hard Knocks. It's sort of a wink-wink deal. My point is, they should want to do it. And I don't believe it's truly a distraction. And we'll break that down. Would you want to see the Bears on Hard Knocks? The Marvin Harrison Jr., I think conversation's a good one.
Good one yesterday.
Yeah. And also Kyle Hendricks. Is he at the end of the line? I think it's still too early to say that.
Great conversation we had with Jesse about it. And I think you're right, Sylvie. It's three stars. There's some troubling things.
It's fantastic.
Like his inability to miss.
You guys broke it down today.
Oh, it was good.
Yeah, tell him.
And he played Jesse wanted to play the sound of Kyle talking post-game last night. And he goes, I've never heard Kyle Hendricks talk like that. His inability to miss bats right now, though, is troubling. Now,
Carmen broke down the stats, too.
I'm telling you, Sylvie. Like it's,
I'm telling you, it's off the charts bad.
What's his top level velocity these days?
Oh, I don't even know.
88. No, it's by 88, 87.
Because he could.
Now, the answer is not releasing Kyle Hendricks. That's not the answer. No, I'm with you. It's about can they fix this at all?
And not only that, you know, but you listen to him talk. He's frustrated as all hell. He's not giving his teammates a chance to win.
Give him a Tommy John surgery.
Every time he looks in the mirror, he sees just a rag arm.
We had a good conversation with Jesse about it. It's a good talking point.
He's one of my favorite players and guys. It's sad, but it's still too early to just say, oh, release him.
I'm with you.
A lot of Cubs fans want that.
I'm with
Big Cat at 4 o'clock, Joniak at 6, and maybe a surprise guest or two on OJ.
All right, sounds good. Have a great show, boy.
Bob Bryson is killing
it. He's 7 under at the Masters. We'll have Masters updates throughout the day as well. Tyler will be all over that for us.
We'll see you to wrap the week tomorrow. Waddle and Sylvia are next.
Of course I got him.